Mad Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have Jerry Colangelo coming on board today at 10:20. Jerry will be with us on tonight's Game 5. Should Draymond Green have been suspended? LeBron James in the Olympic Games, whether or not LeBron is going to play. He has not announced that as of yet. I think it's a very taxing series, and it makes it less likely that he will. And we'll talk with Jerry about that. Also, Muhammad Ali and Jerry passing away. There were times at Suns games where, and I wonder if Jerry remembers the first time he walked through and who it was against and all that, where Muhammad Ali, it would just, the world would stop. Friday was my wedding anniversary. And my wife and I went on a trip, went down to some resorts in Tucson and hung out. And we were listening to the Muhammad Ali service. And I was gripped to it in the morning. I don't know, Eric, did you see much of the Muhammad Ali
stuff? Saw parts of it. Didn't see all of it.
You didn't see all of it?
Saw highlights of it, though.
I, as it was going on, the procession and the amount of people just coming out of their houses and throwing flowers and wanting to touch the hearses that went by was just gripping to me.
100,000 people, they estimated. 100,000 people.
Well, and so as that was going on Friday, and then as they had the speakers, and the speakers were from all walks of life, it was, as gut-wrenching, as heart-wrenching, as sickening as yesterday morning was when I woke up to the news in Orlando. And then I thought back on Friday that I saw just this joyous occasion where there were all walks and all of different races, nationalities, religious beliefs, all gathering together. And there wasn't any anger towards one another. There were political statements being made at Muhammad Ali's funeral up on stage. And there was humor being put up on stage. And it was like a joint togetherness within our society that felt so right. And then yesterday morning just made me absolutely sick. And it was really two different events. I thought about the weekend and what I saw and what was so good and then what's just so awful. So it just caught my mind. And we'll talk with Jerry about Muhammad Ali here in a little bit, and also tonight's NBA Finals. And, the Zika virus and what the concern should be about that. Zach Greinke is throwing tonight. I'm looking forward to Zach Greinke. We'll get into that a little bit with the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks had a pretty good weekend. They took 2 of 3 overall. But I will tell you, as the show started today, and Paula's with us, we'll have news and notes with Paula Bovin. As the show started today, I have to go back to the finals because Steph Curry's wife showed up in the news cycle today. Of course she did. Steph Curry's wife, Ayesha Curry, the well-known wife of Steph Curry, tweeted a response at LeBron James. So this is what it comes to. There was a time where I'll get in your face in person and you get in my face in person, but now we're going to pick up this and we're just going to get on this. And sometimes you should put this down. So this goes back to Draymond Green and LeBron James from Friday night, game number 4. I think we have a picture of it. And the incident that happened between the two of them out on the floor, and they had to be separated. I'll talk to Jerry about this. This was the Draymond Green is suspended tonight because of this situation. The flagrant fouls targeted James in a sensitivity to trash talk. LeBron James complained that Draymond Green crossed the line in terms of trash talk. Guys talk trash in this league all the time, LeBron said. Actually, Klay Thompson said. I'm just kind of shocked some guys take it so personal. I don't know how James feels, but obviously people have feelings, and people's feelings get hurt. So Klay Thompson is saying, LeBron, oh, poor LeBron, his feelings got hurt on this play here.
And LeBron did not take the bait when he was asked the same question. Oh, so did you hear what Klay Thompson said? He said, fill in the blank. He's like, yeah, you know what? I'm not really going to go down that path. I've been biting my tongue for the last 13 years.
That's right. So because LeBron didn't respond, Ayesha is Ayesha, right? Sure. Ayesha Curry said on Twitter, quote, High road, invisible bridge, used to step over, said one person, when the open floor is available left to right. Meaning, and it got 17,000 retweets.
It's great. If it's not Riley Curry making the news cycle, it's Riley Curry's mother.
So we've got the mom, and we've got Steph, and we've got all that. Now, Draymond Green's not going to play tonight. And so the conspiracy theorists are all out there saying, well, this is just the NBA's way of saying, we're going to stretch this series out, and we're going to get another game or two, and we're going to get a lot more money.
But there's no guarantee, even with Draymond Green not playing, that the Cavs are going to keep this game even within 30 points, because so far the games played in Oakland have not been close.
No. Well, that's the thing about this series. Has this series really been a great series?
No.
The answer is no.
Not even close. A horrible series.
It's not been. It's just been like, okay, so we have this superstar over here, LeBron James. Kyrie Irving the other night was a ball hog. There's no other way to put it. I might have been on my anniversary, but I found a way to watch the game because thank God I'm married to a saint for 27 years that said, hey, we should be watching the game tonight. Of course we should. And so I'm watching Kyrie Irving, like, I don't know, I'll spot you the P in both S's and you still couldn't spell pass. Man. So he shot them out of the game, I thought. Draymond's going to sit tonight over, I like this story. Draymond Green is going to watch tonight's game over at the A's Coliseum. So the A's facility is right next door. So I don't know, is he going to sit like up in the upper deck and they're going to put it on like the Jumbotron and he's just sitting there by himself looking out at the screen?
Oh, no, he'll be in a nice suite, I'm sure.
Well, he'll be in a suite, but, you know, if you're going to have some fun with this, like remember when Raja in the clothesline with Kobe?
Of course.
And this is when I was doing TV. And so my goal that night was to go sit with him at dinner. And just while he's watching the game, because he was watching right around the corner from the Staples Center. That was my goal. That was my hope. Wasn't able to pull it off, but still my hope. So what do these guys do when they're told they are not supposed to be in the building? Well, of course, he's going to go next door, and he's going to watch it in the A's facility. I think that's cool. Put it up on the widescreen. Sit there with your family and friends and yell all you want. The game ends. You can walk right over and go celebrate if that's what happens. So I'm really into this tonight. The governor of Oklahoma, later in this show, I'll get into just how silly, absurd, and Donald Trump's tied into this. Later in the show, I've got the governor of Oklahoma trying to get Kevin Durant to stay by giving him a post in the cabinet of Oklahoma. And then I got Trump, who's now trying to weave in Ben Roethlisberger, and he doesn't want to be woven into Donald Trump. For the Republican National Convention. Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Dana White, Trump wants all of them together to speak for him at the RNC in Cleveland. Of course, we're getting to that point now where we want the athletes because the athletes have got it all figured out. If we get the athletes, we're going to be able to drag big audiences in. That's how powerful some of these guys have become, or at least are viewed to be. It's absurd, of course. It's absurd, of course. I'm going to have the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers roll through, and this is what's going to get everybody fired up. Look, I get it. Sports is important. Sports has its place. I've done it for 30-plus years, but I know I wouldn't be asking said quarterback or said marketer to roll up on stage to get everybody excited. I just how it's changed. Watched a lot of soccer over the weekend. Saturday night, I do the play-by-play of Arizona United. I believe that soccer is going to make it here in Arizona. That's one of the things I just do on the side. And they won. They played well. And I watched Copa over the weekend. I watched the USA team. They actually have moved on, and they won their group. They play Ecuador on Thursday in Seattle. So there's some soccer stuff on my mind, too, today as well. And the U of A baseball team. Look, if you're going to take the time to shoot me down because I'm not sitting here talking U of A and we haven't done U of A baseball on the site as much as you would like, but we do ASU baseball, I don't know. Track record shows, yeah, you're going to throw up U of A from a few years ago. But by and large, ASU has done a very good job. And there's this whole ASU U of A thing going on here. And I didn't go to either school, so I don't care. U of A has done a great job in getting to the College World Series. So we are going to talk about them during the show this week. Not so much today, but at some point in time. Pedro's kid's on the team, Pedro Gomez. I think it's a great story. He could be like our insider. Brian Jeffries, the voice of the Wildcats. We'll get into that, too, as the week moves on. And then I watched Stanley Cup last night, and the Pens take care of business there. So there's a lot going on. Not even counting the Diamondbacks and Dodgers. We'll get into that with Paul in a little bit. But up next, Jerry Colangelo comes on board. We'll visit with Jerry, USA Basketball Chairman, Philadelphia 76ers Senior Advisor, Valley Icon on things around Muhammad Ali, and also the services over the weekend. Draymond Green suspension and LeBron James in the Olympic Games and the Zika virus, too. That's all next with Jerry Colangelo. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Jerry Colangelo now with us for a couple of minutes. USA Basketball Chairman, Philadelphia 76ers Senior Advisor, and of course, Valley Icon. He is out on the West Coast. There's a lot to get to with you. I wanted to start with Muhammad Ali and the service on Friday. And Jerry, you and I were at events, obviously, with Fight Night and just at Suns games through the years and had not had a chance to talk to you. Can you put the last week, week and a half in perspective from what you saw?
Well, first of all, with his health situation, you know, he was in a declining mode for some time, and people who have been close to him watched all of that, and he did it with such great dignity and class, which is, you know, it personifies who he was as a person. And it's interesting to me that as I read so many of his quotes that people are bringing back to life, if you will, since his death, he made some pretty profound statements that seemed simple on the surface, but had a lot of depth to it. So he touched a lot of people. Many people looked to him as one of their main people in life, you know, in terms of leadership, in terms of someone they looked up to, particularly in the African-American community, but it covers all ethnic groups without question. And so, you know, he lived a life of incredible performance and accomplishment, but I think the fact that he touched so many people and espoused love and, you know, community and doing what's right for your fellow human beings, that's what he's going to be known for in terms of his legacy.
I was struck on Friday just watching the scene in Louisville as it was unfolding, and it took me back to Suns games where he would walk in, and you know this, that the entire 19,026 would stand at the same time. Do you remember the first time that happened? Jerry, by the way?
Just no, curious. I can't remember the first time, but it's interesting to say 1926. That was 023, I think it was, not 26.
023,
and
okay.
The reason it was 023 is that I tied it to my old number, 23, you know, being the number. That's why I remember that, Brad.
I don't
remember a lot of things, but I remember that.
I'm off by three. I stand corrected. Draymond Green in these finals, and I know you're waiting on LeBron for the Olympic team, but I'm sure, and you've heard now from Steph Curry that he's not going to go, but as you've taken in this final series, what is it that has struck you in watching these two teams?
Great chemistry at Golden State. I think great ball movement, incredible confidence. A couple of guys who are two of the best shooters I've ever seen, they happen to be on the same team. You know, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. Kerr is doing a great job coaching this group. They have great fight. Draymond Green is really a physical, emotional leader. And you know, they're fun to watch. Cleveland has some outstanding stars, but you could see the difference in personality from one team to the other. And right now they're struggling. I think Kevin Love being in and out because of injury is again a factor this year. You know, last year they didn't have Love or Kyrie in the finals. So there's a lot of burden on LeBron, and I think some of that is starting to show.
Yeah, should Green have been suspended tonight, Jerry, from your view?
Well, I'm not going to argue with what the league made a decision. I would say that as it appeared, just the incident itself, this has nothing to do with the prior fouls that had been called against Green, that, you know, the personal fouls that were flagrant fouls, rather, that have also led to part of the decision. But the incident itself, where it appeared LeBron threw him down and stepped over him and Green retaliated, I kind of saw that and get it, and that's, you'd like to think that's how you would respond,
sure,
you know, in that situation, because it's normal. But I think the track record came back to bite him, referring to Draymond Green, you know, his other incidents during the playoffs.
Talk about Jerry Colangelo. Do you see the taxing on LeBron, and in your mind, looking at the Olympic Games coming up, think that that's going to play a role in his decision no matter how this series finishes out, because he is exerting so much at this point, Jerry?
Well, first of all, you know, each individual has to make his own determination. Quite honestly, what Coach K and I are doing are looking at rosters with him and without him, one way or the other. And as we have, you know, lost players, most of them due to injuries, you know, the players before Harden and Westbrook announced, this is all injury driven. But the fact that we have the national team roster with great depth, we have other people to slide in. But interestingly, the point guard position, which was one of our strongest positions, has been a little bit decimated. We're not finished yet.
Yeah.
But when you take Chris Paul and Curry and Westbrook, and then Harden, who's really a two guard or a small three, those things are all factors. We still have other people that can slide in, slide up, and some are going to get a chance, by the way, who never might not have had a chance. At the end of the day, I still feel very confident that we are going to field a very strong team.
Well, you could have LeBron play point. I mean, he's done it in this series, conceivably, right?
Well, I'm not banking on whether he'll be there or not.
Yeah.
That decision will be made by him when the playoffs are over. Like I said, we're preparing both ways.
Is Zika a concern of yours, Zika virus?
It's not based on the information that we have, that we have distributed to our players, families, et cetera. You know, the World Health Organization, the International Olympic Committee, all of the groups that are involved in putting on these games have given us all of the information. It's a matter of education and prevention. And so we're prepared, and we think we can take every step possible. But it probably is a good idea. The only group that really can be affected here, from everything we know, are young females who are pregnant.
Mm.
And so, you know, if someone falls in that category, I'd suggest not to come.
I got you. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and insight as always, Jerry. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Good Bye-bye. Catching up with Jerry Colangelo there. As always, USA Basketball Chairman, Valley Icon, Philadelphia 76ers senior advisor. Some really good stuff there on LeBron and Draymond. And, you know, to have Steph Curry's wife now involved in all this, it to me is fascinating. I mean, Steph Curry's wife's now weighing in on, of course she is, on social media. Paula Bovin is next. Always good to catch up with Paula Bovin news and notes. That's around the corner, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
Always good to catch up with Paul LaBova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist and my friend. I was going to go off first on the Muhammad Ali weekend and watching all that in Louisville. But LeBron is getting just pummeled again today because he's whining about Draymond Green. I just had Jerry Colangelo on about Draymond. And are you watching these finals, by the way?
I have been.
Yeah. Are you a Draymond guy or a LeBron guy? Either way, girl?
Am I a LeBron guy or a Draymond guy? Is that what you said?
Gal. I'm sorry. Draymond gal or LeBron gal? Are you,
I'm just kind of neither. I think the whole thing is just kind of dumb and overblown. I mean, you know what? I know that's a lame talk show answer, too. But
no,
but
it's fine. It's fine.
It's just really one of those things of, you know, just people are sort of making it more than it is. And I, you know,
is it because the series
isn't any
good?
I understand both sides, and I understand LeBron, and I understand Green, and, you know, I just think it's a story that is living too long a life right now.
Is it because the series hasn't been good? It hasn't been competitive, and we're getting to that point where you got to find things.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that a lot of people are kind of making that point, but for me, and I've just so enjoyed the kind of game the Warriors are playing because I'm such a fan of the outside shot and of really great shooters, and we've seen some of that lacking in postseasons and in the NBA, and it just makes me think of how teams are going to build their teams in the future. But for me, that part of it is fun for me, so I haven't hated these finals. But the whole, you know, James at the center of this trash talk debate, I don't know. That storyline for me is just tired.
I saw where Michael Thompson weighed in today, Klay Thompson's father.
Yeah, right. What did he say about it?
He said, are you bleeping kidding me complaining about somebody talking to you on the court, trash talking?
Right,
I mean,
right.
Of course, it's the dad of the son, so I mean.
Right, he's going to say that. I mean,
what's he going to say?
You know, I think LeBron has sort of earned that right. As much as he's done for the NBA, as much as he's not a guy that normally, I don't consider him thin-skinned for the most part during the course of the season or a whiner. So for me, if he's doing that, you know, so be it. It just certainly doesn't change my perception of him and the guy he is and the type of player he is. And for me, it's like those people, you know, who don't say much, but when they say something, you sort of listen. It's kind of a little bit like that for me, because I don't think he's perpetually that guy during the course of a season.
Yeah, that's you though. When you write,
that
something,
is me.
That is you.
Is he annoying you right now?
Somewhat. Yes, I'm just kind of done with him. I'm there to watch the basketball part, and what I'm watching really at the end of the day, Paula, is I'm watching a defensive end in the NFL. On the basketball court, right? Or I'm watching, like people say he could have played wide receiver. He's too big.
Right,
He could be a tight end. You know, he could be Gronk.
Yeah, exactly.
He could be present-day Gronk, sure. I'm watching this guy, like, when Magic came out last week, and you could appreciate this, came out last week and said that the Lakers, Showtime Lakers, would take down the Warriors when Klay Thompson said, we could beat the Showtime Lakers. Okay. And some of that's calculated because his dad, Michael Thompson, was part of that group. But you covered that group. You and I saw those teams.
Right.
I don't see any way, because defensively back then, you could use your elbow, the arm bar. You could hand check.
Right,
so I don't
think
Steph Curry gets nearly the shots against Magic Johnson or Michael Cooper, who's a defensive stud, or Byron Scott that he's getting in today's NBA. I think the Lakers then would crush this team just simply on the rule changes. Who's going to stop Kareem down the low post? Azeli, are you joking? Come on.
No, it's true. And, you know, and again, it's a little bit like the whole apples and oranges thing. How do you compare that? But to the Warriors' credit, they found a way to succeed by adjusting to the new rules of the game.
Sure.
And if this is how you have to do it, that's how you succeed. And I've loved watching them. I love their game. But I also think, for the most part, during his career, LeBron has taken the high road, you know, for more than a decade or whatever.
SI is just put out.
What's going on?
Sports Illustrated just put out on Twitter that LeBron was called a bitch by Draymond several times, and that's why he's responding. So now we've gotten to the point where
that would tick me off if I was on the court. I don't know.
After a while, I got it.
Right.
Friday, did you watch any of the Muhammad Ali stuff? I was riveted myself.
Yeah.
You?
I didn't see all of it, but I saw highlights. I watched Billy Crystal and, you know, a few other close people that were close to him. And it was, you know, I mean, it was so moving because honestly, and speaking quite frankly, a lot of times these type of events, I don't know if I can sit through them because while they're inspiring, they're also pretty sad and you're, you know, people are crying. And I mean, this, just the stories and the power he had on people and on communities, you know, and on society, it was remarkable. And it was one story, one amazing story after another. And it was fascinating. And it's, you know, it's neat that the Valley can in some ways take him as his own because he loved it here and he liked to be here. And people should be proud that he was part of this community because of everything he'd done. And, you know, I finally last night watched the OJ story. I don't know if you've watched that, the first part.
Not yet.
But there is a part of Muhammad Ali is in there, you know, talking about civil rights and things like that. And it just made me even appreciate him more.
Well, here's where I'm at on it. So Friday was my wedding anniversary. My wife and I are driving. We're listening the CNN feed. Mm-hmm. And I turned to her. I said, do you understand and can you believe how many different religious denominations or even non-religious people that don't have a faith are sitting here eulogizing and how this is from all walks, all shapes, all sizes, all beliefs. And then I'm sitting there yesterday morning about ready to lose it over what happened in Orlando.
I know.
And so I'm going off of this uniting moment on Friday and this just horrific moment on Sunday morning. It moved me in all sorts of different directions in terms of emotions. And it made me that appreciate that much more what happened Friday. Like, I will never forget Friday now.
You're right, Brad. I didn't even think about that. But the juxtaposition of those two events, because what Ali represented and wanted was just fairness. And equal treatment. And what happened in Orlando was absolutely not about that. And it was very dark and it spoke volumes of problems we're still dealing with in this society of, you know, it's about hate and not love. And as cheesy as it sounds,
that's
not what Ali was about.
No, it's true. It's true. Talking with Paula Bovin. Greinke pitching tonight. Mm-hmm. So, and it's against the Dodgers, so there should be some buzz, and there's not because the team hasn't played well, unfortunately. But in his last two starts, he's thrown shutouts. And the hatred towards the Dodgers is more than the typical Phoenix versus LA thing that we've seen through the years, whether it's Lakers and Suns or Kings and Coyotes. This has become something where, because the pool incident, just how things have gone with Puig, I think, here recently, this series for the Diamondbacks, you get swept by the Dodgers. And it's just where I want to start throwing dirt on them again. But I think if you get swept by the Dodgers at home with Greinke throwing in one of those games, you pretty much are done by mid-June. You're pretty much done. If you come out of this taking two of three, at least winning the series, you get yourself a little bit of momentum after you took two of three from Miami. So, you know, you and I every week go through this. Are they done? Are they not done? But I really think as we're sitting here, Paula, at mid-June, that this is about the time where you better get it together these next three nights in some way, shape, or form.
No, I agree. And, you know, the thing that's really got me to that point, Brad, was really looking at their home record. And obviously we know their home record has been bad, but when you look at the past decade plus of teams who have managed to sort of come back from big deficits, no one's had the home record that the Diamondbacks have. And that's where you got to eventually, if you're turning things around and get momentum, you get that momentum from winning at home. You get that momentum from fans and from being able to, you know, tap into that emotion. And that has not been the case at this ballpark. And so it's for that reason, you know, especially as you said, they're facing the Dodgers. This is huge. This is huge for them to at least, you know, try to be in the hunt or have people believing they're in hunt, because I think it's going to be really, really hard right now.
The paper had a very good call, and I forget who wrote it, if it was Nick or if it was Scott or it wasn't you, where Dave Stewart just threw it right back at the pitchers and just said, the problem's been our starting pitching. So when I heard this when I heard this from Patrick Corbin, of all people, that, well, I'm looking down the bullpen and they're up too early. And that's been buzzing around this team for about the last 2 months. First 2 months of the season, there's been this underlying, you talk to guys away from it all. Yeah, well, they get the bullpen up too early. That's Dave Stewart saying, shut up and do your job. So I thought that was an interesting move by the GM this week.
Well, and, you know, and maybe that's what is needed. I mean, we've seen how tough love works on the west side of town with a certain professional team, you know, calling guys out, being public about it. Mm-hmm. Now, is there the affection for Stewart and La Russa that there is for Arians and Keim? I don't necessarily see that, but maybe that's what they needed. You know, I also believe, though, to a certain extent, that's why you have a pitching coach and a manager to help you either find the right path or make the right decisions of, you know, using the bullpen and things like that. So I think there's a fair amount of blame to be shared here. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, these pitchers are being paid a lot of money, and Greinke found his way out of it. So can Shelby Miller and these other guys too? It's on them as well, no question.
Do you think Chip is safe for this season? 100% certain that they're not going to make a move? Are you 100% certain?
I could see it happening after the season. I mean, if it keeps happening this way. But I've sensed from what they've said, I don't think there's going to be a change during the course of the season. Because, you know, like you said, within a week or two, Brad, I think their fate is going to be pretty much written. So is there value in seeing what he can do the rest of the season versus, you know, blowing it up and bringing someone in right away? I don't know. But they've had enough sort of supportive voices for him that my hunch, and this is only a hunch, is he lasts at least through the season. But if it doesn't turn around and they're still heading in this very negative trajectory, I could definitely see him not surviving in the postseason.
Anything else going on? What are you working on that you can tell me?
I'm working on a week off of vacation. That's what I'm working on,
here.
Brad.
Well, then leave.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah, I wish I could. I'm just hanging here, but right. That's good.
All right. Talk to you soon. See ya.
Good to talk to you.
You too. There's Paula Bovin, News Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. It was one of our better segments. We didn't. Eric, were you pleased? Or did we have good chemistry today? I mean, some weeks it's just, I don't know.
The whole first 3 or 4 minutes of that interview, I was trying to think to myself, what is Paula doing in her kitchen?
Oh, is that where she was?
Is she unloading the dishwasher? Is she setting the table?
Sounds very sexist.
Well, I wasn't the one that said, are you a LeBron guy or a Draymond Green guy?
Yeah, I know. That was me. But I corrected myself.
Okay.
I did correct myself.
And you are sort of jumping to conclusions.
About?
Well, when you hear dishes in the background, like if I'm talking to you on the phone and I hear dishes or silverware in the background.
Yeah.
It's no different than if I hear Paula putting away dishes or saying the table.
Well, how do you know that that's what she was doing?
I'm pretty sure it was.
I wasn't hearing that. I was only hearing her voice because I'm a paid pro. I was deep in
yes.
the conversation.
That's why you pay yourself the big
that's
dollars.
That's why I pay myself the big
as owner and
bucks.
CEO.
That's why I pay myself.
And decision maker.
Every few weeks,
Sports
I figure it out.
AZ.
Scrape it together. Now, we have some fun here. Hey, on the other side, we're going to talk about Donald Trump. And the governor, this is so great, the governor of Oklahoma trying to convince Kevin Durant to stay. And I'll tell you what the governor of Oklahoma's figured out. There's some stuff going on up in Denver, too, with Von Miller. And they screwed up the ring for one of the coaches of the Super Bowl. How do you do that? That's all on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat. Eric, Paula mentioned that the OJ thing. I didn't watch any of it.
I got through half of it. I'm going to watch the other half later this afternoon or later tonight.
Good?
Very good.
Yeah?
Yeah. It should be good because ESPN is really, really, really hyped this one. It's a five-part series.
That's a long time to invest in something.
Yeah, it's fine.
Because each one's an hour?
The first one was 2 hours.
2 hours. Wow.
But I DVR'd it. So when you watch something back in DVR, as you well know.
45 minutes?
Yeah. About 42 minutes an hour.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Knock the whole thing out in about an hour and a half, hour and 25 minutes.
But do you come away with it that he's guilty? Are you still thinking
Oh,
that,
sure. Or? Of course.
Yeah.
Did you watch The People versus O.J. Simpson on FX? That was really part of it. That was really well done. So I'm sort of caught up in the OJ hype right now.
So I watched ESPN on Friday, and we talk sports media here too because we can. We just, you know, we don't have filters or any of that stuff. And I'm watching them on Friday, and I'm thinking, this is everything that is right and good about that brand. The more that I see of Jeremy Schapp and the more that I see of Bob Lee and the less that I see of Embrace Debate just to argue over dumb things like who's got the tougher schedule in June and just the asinine stuff that goes on the air, the more that I am enamored with the way that they produce some things.
Oh, and in many ways, SportsCenter, which used to be must-see TV, now with this neat little thing and instant access to videos and scores, I mean, in a way, SportsCenter, I don't want to call it an afterthought, but you can get things faster and in bulk. You don't have to wait for the 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock SportsCenter to see how the Dodgers did against the Diamondbacks or whatever.
Well, and that's why I got out of TV. That's why I got a local TV. I mean, one of many reasons, but local TV, this is no offense to our guys that get in there and get after it every day, but on the local channels. But there's no reason for me to go tell a story at 11 a.m., okay, and then sit on it and wait to stand in front of a camera at 5:30 or 6:30 or 9:30 or 10:30 and be away from my family to go tell something that was done 9 hours earlier when you see that you could distribute it much easier and quicker on this. So that whole idea of we'll tell you tonight at 6 or 10, come on, that's done. That's 1980s. I have an antenna on the top of my roof. I don't need cable. I don't need this thing called a dish. No, you're living in a vacuum. It's never going to go back to that. That's like, here's a typewriter. Let's change the ribbon and we'll put in a piece of paper. That's what's going on local television for sports.
And what draws you and me both to ESPN besides live games? Documentaries, storytelling.
Deep.
Something different.
Depth.
Something different than the Reds beating the Marlins 4-3. Winning pitcher X, losing pitcher Y, save Z.
I don't need to have two guys sitting there trying to put a show together every day and embracing debate or arguing over stuff that is just asinine and a complete waste of time. And that's the downside. The upside, what they did on Friday, and I get it, it's a big event, but it's just like watching Bob Lee do soccer. I happen to like soccer. I do. And I think it is the most popular sport worldwide without question.
Yeah, like seeing Kareem on their set before the actual service and all that was pretty cool.
Oh my gosh. ESPN.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even if you don't espouse to the beliefs of Jesse Jackson.
Iconic figures.
It was still Jesse freaking Jackson sitting there. And you can yell at your TV and say, I don't like this guy, as some people do. But they still did it right. And they went and they scouted. Like, I was reading a couple of blogs on the TV production. They were there 5 days beforehand, their production team. They drove the route of the Alley funeral every day. And stopped along the way and found the shots where they want to have this shot and that shot.
That's great.
Okay. They took the time. Like, we'll have some meetings here. We haven't had them lately in the last year because we've been doing so much stuff.
In the last year. I like that. Yeah, we haven't had any meetings in the last year.
No, but I think that there's times where you know that I like to go that extra step. Let's get that extra attention to detail. So when you see it on a big media company that I thought had lost their way. And you're not going to have funerals, I get it. And there's only one funeral like Muhammad Ali. But man, the attention to detail. And so this OJ thing, if you're telling me it's that good because it's their production team, it's their production side.
I love the way they started it. And I'll let you watch it before. I don't really want to spill the beans on how the first hour goes. But
did you hear about the governor of Oklahoma?
I did.
I mean... Guys, here's the story of the governor of Oklahoma. So Mary Fralin, I believe it is, my chicken scratch here, offered a government post to Kevin Durant if he stayed and signed with the Thunder. Just think on this for a minute. The governor sat there and said, in all seriousness too, we're going to create a position for Kevin Durant if he decides to stay and bounce a ball for our team.
That's the best you have to offer, huh?
That's it. That we're going to create a post. Then there's Donald Trump. So we go from the governor of Oklahoma, we go over to Trump. So the Republican National Convention is going to be in Cleveland. And he wants Ben Roethlisberger to be involved. Ben's like, what? He'd like Tom Brady to be up there as a speaker. He'd like Dana White to be up there to be a speaker. Just think on that. And his line was, our country needs to see winners. Our country needs to see winners. So we're going to go out and we're going to try to find three people, two quarterbacks and a marketer. That's all Dana White is. Dana White's a marketer. And I don't know, it came out like a couple weeks ago. He's thinking about selling and not even sticking with it. Now, my point on this is it's fine to have athletes to speak on social issues if they want to, if they want to. It's fine for athletes to weigh in as long as you just look at them as people rather than as athletes. It's very hard for, I think, people to do that. I myself, just because I've done this forever, I don't walk into a locker room and say, oh my gosh. I don't walk into any given sport and say, oh my gosh. It's okay, there's going to be a winner, there's going to be a loser. Give me a good story. That's what it's all about. I'm sure there's some of you that you really want to hear the political leanings or a rally. If Tom Brady stands up there and says, Donald Trump is my guy, why would Tom Brady do that to his brand? Because there's going to be half of the audience that follows Tom Brady, probably, that would say, that's not my political leanings. Like, let's not give athletes too much credit. Let's not sit here and say that just because an athlete says that this is good or this is right or this is who I should vote for, that you should follow through on this. I don't buy that. Our country needs to see winners. You can go find winners that are doing things in society much better than throwing a football or scheduling a match. Dana White, all that screams to me is you want to find a way to get to millennials. You have to find a way to get to millennials. Go find those dudes that show up at the sports bar at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night and pay $5 at the door to watch UFC. That's it. That's all that screams. Rather than, well, the political views of this person are in line with my political views. It's really stunning. And then you hear the conversation about how there's not enough athletes that are out there like Muhammad Ali in this day and age. No, well, with this out there, and it can get twisted all the way around. It really can. It has to come naturally. Greinke's thrown tonight. I'm going to watch that. It's a busy sports night. I can't watch OJ unless I waste this afternoon.
Yeah, you're going to have to toggle back and forth between the D-backs and the NBA game.
I got the NBA finals tonight. Yeah, and I think there's some Copa tonight, too. Our chairman of the board today is Marty Taylor. So Jared took a day off for like the first time since we started this company.
I took the week off.
Took a week off. What's his deal?
Well, I convinced him to get my vacation schedule.
Did you?
On a week,
I'll never see him again.
On a week, off a week.
Marty Taylor didn't screw up today that I'm aware of. I mean, it's fine if she did, but
the show is not technically over yet.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I jinxed her. That's like saying this is a really quick baseball game.
Yeah.
And then and all of a sudden it crawls. It just crawls. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out. We're Arizona-centric. Things on the high school, college, pro front. A little bit off the beaten path sometimes. Sometimes right down the middle. Things that we see, we feel like, this is interesting. This needs a little bit more attention given to it. Doesn't matter if it's pro, college, or high school. You can always send us a note. Brad at Sports360AZ.com. Good, bad, and different. I'm fine with that. Have a good day.